It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Have to do that twice, do I? McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you till 5 a.m. on our now midnight ride. That's right. Maybe we can push aside Saquon Barkley. We did it for the open there in the for a few minutes. We'll take your calls now. It just bothers me. The reaction is just endless. You knew, like, I'm so tired of it as a Giant fan. I'm just tired of it, man. Who cares? We get so hung up on this crap. We knew the guy was great. Like, I just saw Pat Leonard reposted Micah Parsons. I always say Micah. I don't know if it's because of the musician. Micah Parsons. This is what Micah Parsons had to say. All jokes aside, the Giants almost made us believe Saquon wasn't him anymore. That really says a lot. Daniel Jones was paid over Saquon. He was worth more to their franchise. This really says a lot. Yes, it says a lot. One, the Giants don't have a leg to stand in this argument because Daniel Jones is terrible. All right, I've been saying the same thing. So when he says this, it's hard for me to push back on it because it's literally Saquon Barkley and the ability he has and what we just saw last night and what we've seen all year. And to be fair, to go against what Micah Parsons had to say there, even what we saw in a Giants uniform. You knew the ability was there. You watched them. They have a better team and a better offensive line and more weapons and have done a better job where they are able to make him and showcase him far better than the Giants could have. But when you say they paid Daniel Jones and they didn't pay Saquon Barkley, and that says a lot, look up and down the NFL. All right, Daniel Jones is awful. It's winning that game and having that postseason run put them in a position where they didn't have a quarterback and the money because the NFL, Micah Parsons, not just the Giants, put such more of a value on the quarterback position that the franchise tag is such a high number that the Giants felt like they were in between a rock and a hard place and couldn't let him go because they had just had a winning season and were going to try and build on it. And he played well down the stretch, including the playoff game, where he was much more of a factor in winning that game in Minnesota than Saquon Barkley was. But they couldn't just let him go, considering what he did. And the number for a franchise tag was so egregious that it would have been hard putting a team together that year to pay Daniel Jones a franchise tag number. It's much more plausible and palatable to franchise a running back. That's the NFL. That's not the New York Giants. Plain and simple. Every team. Does anyone make more money than Dak Prescott on your team? How much money did Trevor Lawrence just make? We get it. Quarterbacks are more valuable. It's not so much that they made a decision to pay their quarterback more than their running back. The problem is Daniel Jones has regressed to such a terrible level, and he was never the guy, and they should have just moved on from him. But hindsight's 20/20. But those are the things that you can't push back on. Oh, you decided to pay Daniel Jones and you let Saquon Barkley go, says a lot. Well, you know what it speaks to? It speaks to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's inability to put aside the idea that they won with him and recognize that he was not the guy and they should have moved on from him, whether they paid Saquon Barkley or not. But this is what you got to live with. Taking shots from Dallas Cowboys, having the Philadelphia Eagles fans chant thank you Giants, to have Bill Belichick take shots on the Manning cast. This is what's going to happen. They let a great player go, and no one's focused on the idea that the Giants, for a reason, like the first sentence of Micah Parsons' tweet is literally the most important one. The Giants almost made us believe Saquon wasn't him anymore, not by not paying him, not by what happened, but because of on the field, they didn't allow him to be this because they weren't good enough. They wouldn't have been good enough this year. They've never been good enough. That's the insult. That's the insult. The insult is the Giants had a phenomenal game-breaking running back on their team, and they were never in a position to allow it to make a difference. And the Eagles clearly are. 888-808-1019. Mike in East Rockaway. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. First, I'm going to give you the movie reference you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
A judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. An idiot that wants to fine me for $200, not to mention your biological clock.
Yeah, I forgot. I did that already. But yes, it's the loud giant whistles, slaughtered pigs. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other ones, yeah. But yes.
All right, I just wanted to lay it on you.
You got it.
The Giants got to worry about cleaning up their own house, and the fans have to realize that too. I mean, who cares what Saquon is doing?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But it just feels like whether it's the questions in the post game, whether it's whether it's obviously social media, it's just nonstop. It's nonstop Giant fans, and I understand why, but like, it's just... It's hard for me to care when it's not like this changed anything. It's not like the Giants were a winning team. They decided to let Saquon Barkley go to Philadelphia and suddenly the Eagles have taken flight. The Eagles have been the best team in the division, arguably. I know last year by the end of it, they kind of fell apart, but they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Eagles have literally not lost a meaningful game to the Giants since Ron Dixon ran the kickoff back in the 2000 divisional playoffs. Like, that is the last time that the Giants have beat the Eagles in a meaningful game. That's the last time. It has been over two decades of dominance from that franchise. So that's the main thing to me. This hasn't changed anything. All this has done is, you know, made us feel bad about watching a player who used to be a Giant go with the Eagles, but it's not like the Giants went from good to bad and the Eagles went from bad to good. It's the same thing. The Giants stayed lousy and the Eagles stayed good. It doesn't change anything. It's the same thing. The Eagles kicked the Giants' ass. The Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFC. This has been the same storyline every year. Who cares who are the actors in the movie? It's the same movie.
It's only one guy out of 11.
Well, I mean, that's true, too. It's only one guy out of 11. But it's just the narrative of that, oh, wow, what a disaster. What a disaster. What a disaster. They lost 40-0 with Saquon Barkley against the Cowboys week one. 40-0. He was there. He was there. They've had one winning season in his entire career. His rookie year, you couldn't have asked for a better rookie year. He was incredible his rookie year. They were awful. They were awful. They've always been awful. Like, this didn't change anything. If he was here now, they'd be awful. That's the thing. Like, if this was some dynamic shift, I would get it. If the Giants, if they were coming off the playoff win last year and they let him go, and then the Eagles suddenly went on this run after being a fledgling team or a struggling team or an average team, I could see the point. This didn't change a thing. This is exactly what would have happened whether he was with them or not. Now, are the Eagles more dangerous? Are the Eagles a bit more dynamic? Are the Eagles a better team with more of a chance to win the Super Bowl? Sure. But look at the rest, look at what's happened with the Cowboys and the Commanders. This Eagles team was probably going to win the division without Saquon Barkley. Now they have a better chance to win the Super Bowl with him. I'm not going to argue that. He's a great, great player. And it's been on display on a weekly basis. But I'm sorry. Like, it hasn't changed the dynamic of who these two teams are at all. It just hasn't. And if Saquon Barkley were with the Giants right now, they'd be losing. Or they'd have their best player. They'd have the guy who still sells jerseys. They'd have the great Saquon Barkley and his Hall of Fame talents. So what? So what? I've seen it. He's been here. They lose. They lose a lot. A lot. Charlie and Bethpage, what's up, Charlie?
C-Mac, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. I had a great week listening to you being on early this week. It was fantastic. And just tapping off the Seinfeld, calling in, just made my whole week listening to that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you very much. The young boy from running up and down the streets of Hempstead Turnpike talking to Seinfeld now.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. From Hempstead Turnpike to Seinfeld. It's crazy.
You got that, you know. But by the way, your Cary guys are playing tomorrow in football in the semifinals out of Hofstra. They're having a great season.
They are. Yeah, listen, they've been a really good football team for a while now.
They're 9-0 this year. They haven't lost, and they're playing Long Beach tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. Let's go Seahawks.
Go Seahawks, and then tonight's game. I mean, was Greg Zuerlein kicking tonight for Philadelphia?
I know.
I cannot watch these field goal kickers anymore. Two short field goals, and then an extra point. I was like, what are you doing? I'm not understanding.
I don't understand it either, and thank you for the call, Charlie. I appreciate it. And I'll look into Cary. They've been really good for a long time now. We were all right when I played, but they're really good now. 9-0. Now, how about you? You don't get it. How about Dan Quinn? Dan Quinn with like 7 minutes left and an opportunity for his field goal kicker. I was listening, driving in the radio. He's got the longest stretch in the NFL of not missing a 40-yard field goal, despite the fact that he was on the couch weeks ago. But you have an opportunity to go up a point, and Elliott's been awful in the game. He's missed two field goals and an extra point. Put that pressure on them. Why would you go for it? This is the problem with Dan Quinn. I'm sorry. This is the problem with Dan Quinn. He did a great job for the first couple of years in Dallas with that defense. His last year there was rough last year. But he's the same head coach with the Falcons, who obviously blew the Super Bowl, notwithstanding. I know that's the absolute apex of blowing a game, and I think a lot of it had to do with the offensive coordinator, clearly. But I mean, and after that moment, the Falcons continue to find ways to lose games. That is a horrendous decision from Dan Quinn. Horrendous. Now, they didn't play very well. The quarterback didn't play very well. What was Daniels? I'm surprised he was that 22 of 32 for 191 yards, a touchdown, and interception. He's been great with the picks. I think that's only his third pick of the season. But he was off this entire game. He was inaccurate with a bunch of throws, a lot of throws low and at his wide receiver's feet. McLaurin doesn't even get one catch for 10 yards in this game. Most of it was done by Eckler. Yeah, McLaurin, one catch, 10 yards. Eckler, eight catches, 89 yards. A lot of this was dump off. Ertz makes a couple of big plays. He gets the touchdown. He has the great two-point conversion as well. But this was a rough game for the Commanders because they were in it early. They had shut down Philadelphia's offense. They're up 7-3 at the half. They're up 10-3 in the third quarter. And from that moment, and there are lines of demarcation in football games, and there is no doubt the momentum completely swung the second that fourth down didn't get converted. And they didn't just take the points to go back up a point. With the way that field goal, with the way Elliott was kicking, you have to put the pressure. There's 7 minutes left. There's 7 minutes left. Take the lead. Instead, they go for it, don't get it, and from that moment on, they go right down the field, and Saquon Barkley rolls off the big run and gets into the corner of the end zone, and then the next possession, after an interception, I believe, right? Or the interception end the game, I don't remember. But then Saquon Barkley goes untouched for a second touchdown and ends up with 130-something yards and two touchdowns. Just a terrible end of the game for the Commanders, who I still think are a playoff team, who I still think are a good team. I think Kingsbury has got that offense going well. It was a tough matchup against the Eagles, and the Eagles are the class of the division and are right there right now, 8-2. What, they've won six in a row? They're right there with the Lions as the two best teams. And they just made a case last night that they're the second best team in the NFC behind Philadelphia. If they hadn't already made that case. You know, Dallas has completely fallen off. The Niners have been up and down, to say the least. I mean, they're right there as the best team in the NFC. And that's what we should be talking about when it comes to the Eagles and the Commanders, and not Saquon Barkley and whether or not the Giants made a mistake. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's good, C-Mac? Good morning. How are we?
Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Chilling. I'm not even mad at Saquon for leaving. It would have been career suicide and even taking less money to play with a less talented team. Let's not even get into Saquon's rational decision to not take the Giants' half-handed offer. That being said, with all things being considered, the Giants have had this problem ever since, like I said, Eli left. And the stopgap front office ownership coaching has not had a vision, has only selected players to fill spots, not come up with a scheme, not come up with a game plan, a way to establish their identity in the league. Is this is what we do, we dare you to stop it, because that's what the NFL game is. We're going to run these plays, we're going to run this scheme until you stop it. And ever since Eli left,
I don't know. There's some team. I mean, I guess, like, you know, what's the Commanders? What's the Commanders
it's
right now?
Option,
who are 7-4?
It's an option RPO offense that will test the defense on third down. You can see it. They will throw the ball deep on third and long, but most of the time they're running a college option run offense.
Yeah, I mean, they have less. They're the only team in the NFL that have less down the field throws than the Giants do.
But they will test it. But the whole thing is to scheme run lanes.
I know, but I get it. But I mean, the Giants don't have a quarterback. I mean, I don't know what scheme you want. I don't know what you want their identity to be when they don't have an offensive line who's capable of running it down your throat, and they don't have a quarterback.
It's not what my identity. They can't come up with it themselves. But that being said,
they don't have
with
the
Joe Shane, with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, when they select the quarterback, the rest of the pieces to the offense and defense, whenever they get the coaching for that, I think I have hope for the future, because that's all I can be for a fan. Root for them to win, even though they're going to lose a bunch of games. And eventually they'll get their act together and we'll be a relevant team again. That's all I have to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, you got it. I just... When you say get a, you all want that identity. But I also feel like the NFL has kind of become a little bit more of a chameleon league where, like, that's old school NFL a little bit to me. Maybe I'm wrong. But when you should have an identity, don't get me wrong. I mean, the Eagles have the run game now and the tush push and stuff. And there are teams who have identities and how they go about business and what they're good at, sure. But I feel like it was back in the old days. It was like, we're going to do this and you could either stop us or not stop us. Where Bill Belichick and the Patriots kind of changed that and became more of a chameleon team that would play to the strengths and weaknesses of the other team that they were playing, their opponent, and develop a game plan that week. And while I agree with you, the Giants don't have anything they're good at. I agree. They stink. And the quarterback makes that very difficult. They don't have anything offensively that they're good at. There's nothing to lean on. They don't have anything that you could say, oh, this is what the Giants are good at. This is what the Giants are going to come out and try and do. Right? They don't. They've abandoned the run at times, then they lean heavy into the run. The quarterback can't throw the ball deep, whether the offensive line doesn't give him time, whether or not he has the confidence to stand back there and pocket presence to figure out a way to get to maneuver himself to get time, be accurate down the field with the ball. Like, Daniel Jones inhibits them from finding an identity. Plain and simple. He inhibits them from finding an identity. Bad quarterbacks do that. What's the Carolina Panthers identity? Like, look up and down the league. When you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to have an identity, because why wouldn't you bring up safety? Stack the box, stop the run. You don't have a quarterback who beat you. It's easy to game plan when you don't have a quarterback that you fear can beat you. And that's what the Giants have. They have a quarterback nobody fears. They have a quarterback being openly mocked by the divisional opponents. That's what they have. They have Micah Parsons on the Dallas Cowboys talking about how embarrassing it is that they chose to pay Daniel Jones instead of Saquon Barkley. That's what they have. That's the quarterback they have. Thomas in Bayshore. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, first time, long time. This situation with the Giants, I'm in agreement with you. It's not about Saquon, what he did with Philly. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I know how this goes, what they give Dak the money, CD the money. And first of all, let me say this. Micah Parsons needs to shut up, because there's going to be an embarrassment at the end of the season when he's let go of and doesn't get a penny. But I'm a football fan first. 2 years ago, Dabo gets Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Daniel Jones sets an NFL playoff record with 300 passing yards. 2 touchdowns, over 70 yards rushing. Last year, no offensive line. Daniel Jones is out for 2 games on the injured reserve for the last 8. Barkley don't want to take the franchise tag again. So now you come into this year, and at $40 million, I thought the Giants were in a pretty decent situation. They have Daniel Jones, and you have the other quarterback.
Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito, yeah. And I'm like, okay, you go with DeVito, let him move the chains, and then see what happens. But at $40 million, and here's the thing, they still have no offensive line. They have a good group of talent. And I'm with
the
GM.
It's been better. The offensive line's been better. It's not a top.
The GM said it perfect the other day, and it wasn't a lackluster approach. He said, listen, everyone has their hand in this, including me.
Yeah.
You have 19 of their 22 players are coming back next year.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is out there right now that you replace Daniel Jones with? Considering he's had 3 different offensive coordinators.
I don't care.
How many head coaches?
I don't care. He's broken. It doesn't matter. You want to give me reasons why he's broken? I'm with you. He's not done it to himself.
No offensive line.
No, the offensive line's been that. Explain to me why he threw the ball 10 feet over neighbor's head with a clean pocket. Stop. He's been awful. He needs to go. He's awful.
And then you get another quarterback in there who doesn't do what he's done.
He'll do better than Daniel Jones. Tommy DeVito came in and did better than Daniel Jones last year. Tyrod Taylor came in and threw the ball down the field better than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is awful. And I'm with you. The coaching changes, the offensive coordinator changes, the poor offensive line, all reasons why he has become broken. But he's broken.
I've seen that happen with Sam Darnold. And look what he's doing with Minnesota.
Yeah, he won a couple games. Have you seen him in the last 2 weeks? He hasn't been that good, and I don't know if he'll be that good.
Doesn't matter what Minnesota's right. And here's another thing.
And it's been after three years in 3 different organizations, and he's coming and won some games. Okay. I still don't think he was ever as bad as Daniel Jones, quite honestly.
You know, but here's the other thing, too, and it could have, should have. 6 games this year were lost by 7 points or less.
Yeah.
A lucky bounce one way or the other.
Or a quarterback who can function inside the red zone. That would help, too. Thomas, the quarterback stinks, man. I can't do it with you. I love you. I appreciate it. I know what you're trying to say. He sucks. Daniel Jones is awful. We've established it. It's over. I really don't think it's up for debate anymore. Maybe with someone else. Maybe another organization. Maybe he will pull a Sam Darnold. It's never going to work here. It's never going to work here. He's been broken. They broke him. I won't even deny it. If he was drafted by another team with a different set of circumstances and better coaching and better development and a better offensive line and more weapons, maybe Daniel Jones could have become a better quarterback. I can't go back in time and change any of that. All I can look at is what I see before me, and he is no longer an NFL quarterback right now. And he's getting paid way too much money to be this particularly terrible. He can never take another snap for the New York Giants. It's malpractice if he does. That's it. Spend all this bye week getting either Locke or DeVito, and I honestly, we could argue which one it should be. I don't care. I really don't care. Get one of them prepared to be the quarterback of this team moving forward. That's it. Daniel Jones is awful, and he needs to go, and the idea, I don't care if it's an extra $5 million. Right? Because it's like, oh, it's $23 million, and if he's not off the books by the fifth day, that would still be $13 million. We're talking about $10 million. I don't care. I don't care if it's $5 million. If he gets hurt and his contract is locked in for next year at $23 million, that's an out-and-out disaster. He needs to become the assistant offensive coach in plain clothes, a clipboard, and a headset. That's it. That's it. And I don't know if he's being truthful or doesn't want to say it's a business decision. The one thing that annoyed me the most in the press conference from Joe Shane was that he said it's going to be a football decision with Daniel Jones. Because I suppose, considering the rest of the quarterback room, you could make an argument for a football decision that Daniel Jones is the best quarterback to still play the football, to play the game for the New York Giants, which is idiotic. It's no longer just a football decision. It's not. And you could argue that even a football decision, Daniel Jones shouldn't play, but I don't even think it's up for debate anymore. He's terrible. You have to get out from under the contract. He can't play anymore. That's it. So please, stop telling me about the offensive line. Stop. Stop. Or who would be better? A number of quarterbacks. A number of quarterbacks. Any number of quarterbacks. And I can certainly get one in here for a cheaper price tag to do what they...
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I know Jones is doing.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
McMonagle here with you. We'll get into some other things. There's always baseball to talk here. There's some Saquon Barkley. I keep saying that a second time now. Instead of Juan Soto, I said Saquon Barkley. Juan Soto rumors are really starting to grow with the Boston Red Sox. I'm seeing a lot of Boston Red Sox stuff, along with a narrative that we've talked about. And I always thought it was preposterous. But maybe there is an element to this whole thing that is important to Juan Soto that surprises me. So we'll get into that. But we'll start the football. Obviously, Jets-Colts. A huge game for the Jets, let's be honest, right? I mean, we all feel like it's probably over. And off of that performance against Arizona, it sure doesn't feel like the Jets are capable of much. But it all starts somewhere. They're playing a Colts team that's really struggled offensively. They're going back to Richardson, who has had, you know, one of the worst completion percentage in recent memory in the NFL. That's how bad it's been. So they have an opportunity against a bad Colts team to at least breathe life for another week And we don't have to worry about, for one more week, what would you do? Should Rodgers be back? How do you blow it up? How do you figure out how to get him off the roster? We could push that conversation one more week if the Jets can find a way to beat the Colts on Sunday. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
T-Mac, what's good? How are you today, bro?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm chilling. Also, listen, since we're speaking quite frankly here,
yeah,
and very curt about about who sucks, let me be quite frank, as I always am. The head coach and the GM also suck.
Yeah.
You know that. You know that's the way that I'm leaning.
I know.
And I have more evidence to suggest that that is the case than not. Because, like I said to you the other day when we spoke, and Pat Boyle followed you up, and he said everything. He repeated everything that I said. I'm not saying that, you know, me and him are the authorities on this. But listen, the guy, like I said, they haven't done anything. This GM has. They're supposed to. Look, Dable's supposed to be a quarterback, you know, fixer.
Yeah.
He's broken Daniel Jones into a million pieces. Can't even figure out how to put him back together, and that's why where we're at now. And Joe Shane has a big hand in that, because where the hell are his hog mollies? We killed Gettleman all those years for not getting an offensive line. This idiot gets Neal, who's been a zero, a bust,
yeah,
you know, except for the fact we don't hear from the guy unless he's hurt or he's criticizing people who work at Burger King. Like, you know, I can't take, I can't see my.
Well,
I
a couple things. One, a couple things. All right, one,
okay.
All right.
Okay.
You want to say he broke Daniel Jones under Brian Dable? Daniel Jones, I know he had some good numbers his rookie season.
Right,
he won a road playoff game in the NFL. Brian Dable got more out of Daniel Jones than I thought possible. Like
who was throwing the ball, Dable or Daniel Jones?
Oh, so when he's good, good, it's on Daniel Jones. When he's bad, Brian Dable broke him. Is that what we're gonna say?
Because I don't believe that.
Did Brian Dable play last week, or did Daniel Jones?
I only made that last statement because everybody else seems to think that the head coach has something to do with it. I don't. I think that I blame Shane more for it because he never put an offensive line in front of him. This offensive line's
better than it's been. It's better than it's been.
Okay, but hold
it's not been terrible.
Broken. It's too late.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but when did he get broken? He was hurt last year. He played five. You're telling me he got broke? He led the team to the postseason. He won a road game. Came back and what? Played 5 weeks before blowing out his knee.
That's
when he got broken in those 5 weeks.
Yes, he was.
Well, that's on. I'm
like
sorry. That's on him.
That's
on him for being easily broken. That's on him for being easily broken.
B-Mac. Saquon Barkley averaged 3.7 yards and 3.9 yards
throughout
the last three seasons behind this offensive line.
Agreed.
Joe Burrow,
how many times has Joe Burrow been sacked? I haven't seen him been broken. Like, it's on you can't on one hand say Daniel Jones throws the passes.
The other guy. Come on.
What's that?
He's got Higgins and
I understand that, but he's not broken. He's not broken off a bad offensive line. He got sacked 9 times in a playoff game and won. We've seen guys get sacked before and not been broken. Andrew Luck really didn't have immense talent around him. What do you have, T.Y. Hilton? And he had lacerated spleens. He was beat up so bad. He decided to call it quits, but he wasn't broken. That's on Daniel Jones for not being able to function. I'm sorry. All the coaching changes, they didn't help him. But he shouldn't have been broken. Come back and play. Stand in the pocket. He has clean pocket throws that are atrocious. Occasionally he makes good ones. But there are too many mistakes even with clean pockets. I'm sorry. You can't defend. You want to get on Dable? Fine. You want to say he's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer and he got one decent season out of Daniel Jones. It's not good enough. Okay. But it's unfair to say he broke Daniel Jones. Well, look at the Daniel Jones that he got year one. Well, did he throw the passes? Well, that's not fair. So the great year of Daniel Jones had nothing to do with Brian Dable, and then since is all on Brian Dable. Like, come on. That's not fair. And again, I can't tell you Brian Dable's done a good job or Joe Shane's done a good job. They're 2-8. But the quarterback has a lot to do with that. Has a lot to do with it. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with the sentiment that if they had Patrick Mahomes would come here and not be good. I disagree. I really disagree. I think Patrick Mahomes would be good everywhere. Now, would they be undefeated and looking to win their third consecutive Super Bowl? No, they wouldn't be. That I'll give you. But they might throw a touchdown pass at home every once in a while. They might win a game every once in a while. They'd be a playoff team right now inside this NFC. Right now, this team, the exact same team, you put Patrick Mahomes on this team, they're a playoff team. I firmly believe that. Or at least battling for the playoffs up until the last week or two. They're not 2-8. They're not 2-8. And I'm not saying he has to be Patrick Mahomes, but he got paid like an upper echelon quarterback. Upper echelon quarterbacks take this team and make them function. $40 million quarterbacks should be good enough to take this exact team. This exact team. And have 4 wins right now. And have 4 or 5 wins right now. Any upper echelon quarterback that you could pay $40 million to should at least still have a season right now. But tell me again how it's a bargain. And wait until everyone else gets signed, and it's going to be a bargain. You're going to be thankful you paid Daniel Jones that money. Remember that conversation? You dopes. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Listen, I got a couple points. Hear me on the Giant points. The Giants, they had to sign Daniel Jones because Dave Gettleman, he the Giants had a terrible situation. He had Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge. Dave Gettleman drafted awfully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what? They signed Daniel Jones because this is his first year stable. He won a playoff game. Maybe we could see something because Pat Shurmur is a terrible head coach. Joe Judge sucked. And
well,
that's
Pat Shurmur did get the – I mean, he had multiple, like, 4 touchdown, 0 pick games under his rookie season.
But, right? Yeah.
But I know. Awful head coach. He wasn't a terrible offensive coordinator,
also,
and he did okay with Daniel Jones.
Can I just make something about this? Dable and Shane, they inherited this roster been by Dave Gettleman. Like, he left it with nothing, all right? And I think Dable, for all the crap he gets, like, Shane has made it harder on him, too, with these trades and drafts. Like, listen, I think we got to keep him. I'm sorry. You know what? They brought him here to develop his own quarterback.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I want to keep them, too. I don't want to keep changing coaches.
Thing.
And I do want him to get a chance. Good.
The delusional Eagle fans, like, oh, how could you let guy walk? You know why? Because our former GM, Dave Gettleman, picked him in a position where he's a great running back. We all knew he's got talent. He's not a number 2 overall draft pick.
No.
And the Giants had to let him walk because they still be 2-7. And they went and signed Brian Burns and some key defensive players. And this is the youngest roster in the NFL.
Yep.
All right? The Giants are they're not the Eagles. They're not a good team. But they are in a phase where you got to keep these guys. Because you know why? If you draft a rookie and fire him, it's going to make the situation a lot worse. We've seen it again. You know, with the Jets, they failed Zach Wilson. But he developed Josh Allen. Like I think there's still hope. I know Brian Daboll is having a bad year, but we got to remember that. I mean, he. This is why they brought him here. He's not a Pat Shurmur. He's not Joe Judge. All right. And the Giants, they have talent. That's the frustrating part. They're not a good team, but they make these killer mistakes like red zone interceptions, and we're not going to see that anymore. All right. When the Giants get the QB that they of the future that brought him here. Then this is over. I'm not saying they're going to be the Jane Daniels, but you know what? This team will show something. And it's just, I just think people on the, the Giants have had, they had 5 coach. This will be, if they fired him, they've had 6 coaches in 2015.
Yeah, that, I mean, I agree.
That's barbaric. That is just barbaric.
I agree. That's part of the reason I don't want to change midstream because I feel like that's what it is. I feel like they hired him knowing exactly what the rebuild is. I felt like some of the things you said are a little unfair. Like, Dave Gettleman left this team with no offensive line. That is true. There was no offensive line. They were in cap hell. But to say there was no talent here is unfair because there was talent on the team. There was some. I mean, he drafted Dexter Lawrence. He's arguably the best defensive tackle in the sport. Now, he took a real jump up under Wink Martindale and under Brian Daboll when he really got a little bit more of a pass rush, which changed who he was, but he was a pretty good run stopper on his way to becoming a great player. Andrew Thomas is a legitimate, excellent left tackle. And Saquon Barkley was a, as we see, a Hall of Fame caliber, excellent, talented running back. So all of those guys are Gettleman players, all of them, right? Xavier McKinney was probably their best defensive back. That's a Dave Gettleman guy. Like, a lot of the talent on the team was Dave Gettleman's. A lot of the players that they won nine games with and got into the postseason and won a road playoff game are Dave Gettleman players, even the quarterback. So I don't think it's fair to say Dave left them with no talent. He left them with no offensive line, no wide receivers, and cap hell. That's what he left them with, which is bad. It's a bad spot. I'm not trying to tell you he left them in a good spot. It's a bad spot, but completely void of talent when the first thing in the first offseason they did was pay the quarterback, pay the left tackle, pay the defensive tackle, big time, top of the league contracts. Those were all Dave Gettleman guys. That's the first thing they did in their first full offseason after they had a season with the team. That's the first thing they did. Pay the quarterback big money, pay the defensive lineman big money, pay the offensive lineman big money. All of them, Daniel Jones, all of them Dave Gettleman products. So I think Dave gets a little too much blame. He should get a little bit of credit for the talent that he drafted. Because if you want to look at, and you want to say, oh, those are first-round picks, okay, I get it. Look at the first-round picks that Joe Shane has drafted. Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. Either of them anywhere near Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas? Evan Neal can hardly see the field. It takes six injuries to get Evan Neal out there. Andrew Thomas is a premier left tackle. Dexter Lawrence is a premier, arguably right now, top of the league defensive lineman. Those are the first round picks that Dave Gettleman. Now, I know it should be easy, right? Oh, those are first round picks. Again, Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, Banks. Those are the first round picks of Joe Shane. Not the same. Not the same. Now, this particular draft, I think he's done a really nice job with. I mean, the defensive backs, like the back end of this draft, he's picked up useful pieces and good players. He's had a nice draft this year. But prior to that, not too much. But I do agree. I just think it's time to settle in. I think John Mara was sold that it was going to be a process to rebuild. The first year winning set that process back. The winning actually hurt them. And now they're in year two of a rebuild. Both year one and year two have sucked, mainly because the quarterback can't play. So they're rebuilding with a quarterback who can't function and who was injured last year. That's not going to be pretty. The caller just mentioned how young they are, youngest roster, youngest defense. They're going to have 18 to 22 starters coming back next year. Like, it's a process. And I don't know who's going to come here and fix it any better. Like, I'd rather just, and he did develop Josh Allen, draft the young quarterback, allow them to finish this process. And this means another 3 years of them. Like, that's what I'm proposing. Like, I heard someone mentioned Pat Boyle. I was listening to Pat Boyle's show on the way home. And someone called in, I think, with Pat and was like, well, if you keep them, you do this, you draft the quarterback, then they lose the games next year and you're firing them anyway. No. No. Actually, no, that was Al Cintron last night. I disagree. I'm not firing him next year either. He's going to draft the young quarterback, and I'm giving him a couple of years with the young quarterback. Settle in. Shane and Dable here for another 3 or 4 years. That's what I'm proposing. I think that's the best solution to this. I do. I think you got to just set your ways, start this rebuild, acknowledge that year one was a positive but ultimately a negative, and you're in year two of a rebuild with a lousy quarterback that they were still stuck with even though they made the decision to pay him, which was a horrendous decision. I think that's ultimately what's led them down the wrong path. I think you forgive them for paying Daniel Jones, especially when you're the owner who was very much in his corner. Very much in his corner. You forgive them that one mistake and you go about rebuilding. And you give them another 2 or 3 years. I think that's what you should do. And it's not easy. I don't love it. I could be dead wrong and this franchise is going to be terrible for the next 3 years. I don't know. They could draft the wrong quarterback, unable to develop him. It sucks. And you have to blow the whole thing up in 3 years and it's just prolonged the whole thing. I get it. But what is the next GM going to do? Like, that's my question, right? We talk about how young the roster is. The next GM is going to come in and keep a lot of this roster. What is he going to do? Not going to change all these guys. It's not an aging roster. It is what it is. Like, they're not going to come in here and make that many changes. They're going to figure out the quarterback position, whoever you bring in. That's the only, if you don't trust these two guys to figure out the quarterback position, and that's really the main reason I want to keep them, is because that's what got them their job, is drafting and developing the quarterback. Like, I feel like another GM's not going to have anything else to do but that for the most part. I mean, try and go about fixing an offensive line, which not only has Joe Shane and Brian Daboll not been able to do, but no team, no GM coach combination has been able to do it for the last decade. This goes back to drafting Flowers ninth overall. This is not a new problem for the New York Giants. So they're the youngest roster. The team's going to look similar no matter who the GM is. And the biggest decision is the quarterback. And that's what got them hired, was making that decision in Buffalo. So to me, as ugly as it's been, as bad as it's been, the best thing that I think the Giants can do is lose every stinking game, get the first overall pick, and consider this kind of year two, year three of a rebuild, and go at it with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and let them do what you hired them to do, even though you're going to have to give them a little bit of a mulligan for the first 2 years of it. I think that's the only option. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hello, McMonagle.
Hello, Eddie.
Let's get on. Well, first of all, if Barkley and the Eagles win one or two Super Bowls, would this be the worst trade in NFL history?
Which trade are you talking about?
Barkley to, they didn't trade him. Letting Barkley go to the Philly.
Yes,
if this was the 80s, Tony Dorsett's not in the division if Dallas or Emmitt Smith. It ain't happening. And what I see is you've got an order in Jeffrey Lurie that will get rid of a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah.
We'll get rid of Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
We'll make a move. And when you got Mara, who sits on Eli Manning a lot longer than he had to, not making the right decisions on Daniel Jones, you know. He's supposed to be promoted by the Mannings, and you don't even hear from the Mannings anymore while Daniel Jones is, you know, floundering in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, you know, you can't let Barkley go to the inside of the division.
Why not?
Even for a fan, you know, for history,
no, it doesn't.
You can't let that happen.
Why?
Forget about the money.
Where it changed the Eagles. Where were they last year? Where were they 2 years ago in the Super Bowl without him? While the Giants were doing what with Saquon Barkley?
Right. So you
what
make
were
sure
they doing with Saquon Barkley?
Going there, right?
Yeah. Listen, you
why
can't control
you
where
stick,
he goes. They
why
decided
would you
not
want
to keep him.
Stick the best player
they
in
didn't,
your own division.
They didn't stick him there. They didn't sign him. The Eagles did. They can't control where he signs as a free agent. They decided not to sign him.
Yeah, they could. They could have franchised him.
They could have signed him. Okay.
And
where would they be right now? And where do you think the Eagles would be? Where would the Giants be?
Chris, could the Giants
Eddie,
have franchised
answer the
him
question. Yes.
Them?
Where would they be right now?
Okay.
Where would they be right now if they franchise tagged him or franchise tagged him and trade him somewhere?
Mr. Mara would be able to sleep tonight instead of seeing Barkley running all over the field.
Who cares?
Tons and tons.
Who cares? The Eagles have
who
been
cares?
One of the... Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Chris,
you heard me
you
correctly.
How long have you been a Giants fan?
My whole life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Duke documentary that just came out?
The Duke documentary? No, I didn't watch the Duke documentary.
On Wellington Mara. Really?
Oh, no, the Duke. I'm sorry. Where? I haven't seen that it's been out yet to stream. I haven't seen it, no.
You haven't seen it yet, and you've been a Giant fan your whole life.
Yes, that is true. Yes, I haven't seen the documentary on Wellington Mara. Nope. I'm kind of busy, but having had a chance now.
All I'm saying is Mara can't run the ship no more. He needs to put someone in there. I'd like to see a Phil Sims or somebody.
Yeah, sure, Phil Sims. Get Phil Sims in there. I heard he likes onions. Man, Eddie, come on. Just cut it out. All right? I mean, come on now. You want to see Phil Sims run the show. You want to see Phil Sims run it. Not that he could do much worse than John Mara, I get it, but, you know, over the last 10 years, but you want to see Phil Sims. And again, When you said Duke, I thought you were talking about Daniel Jones and Duke for whatever reason. But when you say, like, you can't let him go to Philadelphia, oh, my God, you're a Giants fan. How can you let him go to Philadelphia? Who cares? What has been going on between these two franchises for 20 years? This is not like this changed how this works. The Giants have been getting their ass kicked by Philly for 20 years. Whether it's Brian Westbrook to Miles Sanders, they've been getting their ass kicked no matter who the running back is. The Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Eagles were the last team to lose a game last year. They did not transform. Saquon Barkley did not transform the Eagles into a winning product. They've been winning for a while now. A while. And the Giants were losing with him. Who cares? Yes, I'm a Giants fan. I don't get hung up on who's winning while the Giants are 2-8. I honestly don't care. I hate the Eagles with a passion. I hate them more than any other football franchise. They're the nemesis. They're the enemy. They were, and you know why? Because they've kicked the crap out of the Giants for 20 years. Not just this year. This didn't change any dynamic of what's gone on here. This has continued it. That's all that's happened. Saquon Barkley was here last year with the New York Giants. What was their record? Saquon Barkley had been here for 6 years. What was their record? What does it matter? Oh, you can't let him go. It's the worst trade ever. Yeah, I know. It's the Herschel Walker trade. Sure. Who cares? First of all, it's not even a trade. I don't even know what you're talking about. You want Phil Simms to run the Giants. You'd love to see Phil Simms run the Giants. What in the world makes you think Phil Simms could run the Giants? Because he had the most completion, the highest completion percentage in a Super Bowl? Like, what are you talking about? And we usually hear how we want Jeter to run the Yankees and Jorge Posada to be the manager and Paul O'Neill to be hitting coach, David Cohen to be the pitching coach, Ramiro Mendoza to be the bullpen coach. It's rare that you hear that you want Super Bowl. You want maybe Lawrence Taylor could be the defensive coordinator. I'm sure that would go over great. What else could they have? I mean, Otis Anderson, the running back coach. Phil Simms can run the whole thing. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.